Have you ever found yourself wondering how businesses, how they seem to instantly grasp what thousands, maybe even millions of customers think about their products or their services?
Like, how do they know what's working and what's not? Almost in real time.
Exactly. It often feels like they have some kind of, I don't know, sixth sense about it all.
It's an incredible feat, almost like having a pulse on the collective customer consciousness, isn't it?
Absolutely. And the secret behind that nearly psychic capability, it often lies in something called AI sentiment analysis. It's a really powerful application of artificial intelligence. It takes these huge amounts of written or spoken feedback, think customer reviews, social media posts, support chats, you name it.
All that text data floating around.
Right. And it rapidly extracts the most important nuggets of knowledge and insight. It doesn't just, read the words. It deciphers the underlying emotional tone.
Ah, so it's a leap beyond just simple keyword searches. It's getting to the true feeling behind the text.
That's it, exactly. So today, we're going on a deep dive into AI sentiment analysis. We'll unpack what it is, why it's become, pretty much an essential tool for modern businesses, some of the most creative ways it's being used right now, the fascinating algorithms that actually make it work.
The tech behind it.
Yeah, the tech. And perhaps most crucially, the ethical considerations and challenges. Because, with powerful tech comes big responsibility.
Absolutely. Think of this as your shortcut, really, to being well-informed on a topic that's quietly shaping everything, from your daily customer service interactions to the products you end up buying.
Get ready for some surprising facts, maybe a few aha moments along the way.
Definitely.
All right, let's kick things off. We're talking about AI interpreting emotions. For those who might have heard the term but aren't deep in the weeds, what's a quick, high-level refresher? What is sentiment analysis beyond just, the dictionary definition?
Sure. So at its core, it's AI's ability to interpret emotions, opinions, attitudes, all from text data. You might hear it called opinion mining sometimes.
Opinion mining, okay.
Yeah. But the real magic, I think, is that it moves beyond just identifying words to understanding the emotional tone being conveyed. Is it positive, negative, neutral? It's about getting the vibe of the message, not just the literal words.
Okay, so if I write a review like, "This product is brilliant, but the packaging made me feel like I was wrestling an octopus," a human totally gets that mixed feeling, right?
Right. You get the positive and the negative aspects.
But historically, an algorithm might have just seen brilliant and octopus and been totally lost. How did businesses even start trying to handle this massive task before AI really took off?
That's a perfect example. And yeah, historically, they relied almost entirely on manual human analysts.
Wow, that sounds slow.
Incredibly slow. And as you can imagine, for the sheer volume of data businesses deal with today, it was hugely time-consuming, labor-intensive, and frankly, just impractical.
I can't even picture manually reading millions of tweets.
Exactly. And maybe even more importantly, human analysis introduces bias. Interpreting sentiment can be really subjective. What one person thinks is mildly irritating, another might see as a complete disaster.
That makes sense. And then the digital age just exploded.
Yeah.
This avalanche of online conversation. I think I read somewhere it's like over 500 million tweets sent daily.
Something like that, yeah. Just immense amounts of text. Manual monitoring didn't just become impractical, it became literally impossible.
And things move so fast online, too.
Right. The speed at which online crises can unfold, studies show something like 60% peak within the first 4 hours. That really hammered home the urgent need for automation.
4 hours, wow.
Yeah. So this is where AI-powered solutions really stepped up. They've evolved pretty rapidly too, from, basic keyword monitoring back in the 2000s
I remember those days.
through more sophisticated social media monitoring in the 2010s to today's really advanced AI systems. These offer real-time analysis, predictive insights, even automated responses sometimes.
So it's gone from just counting words to actually trying to understand public opinion at scale.
At massive scale, yeah. And speed.
That speed and scale must be a total game changer. So what's the real tangible value? What does AI-driven sentiment analysis actually bring to businesses today? Is it just about saving time, or is it deeper?
Oh, it's profoundly impactful. I mean, yes, it's accurate, it's scalable, it's efficient. It definitely saves time. Something like 30% of IT pros report time-saving benefits from AI and automation software.
That's significant.
It is. But its true value, I think, lies in the depth of insight. It helps businesses gain these incredibly deep insights into customer opinions, identify emerging trends almost instantly.
Before they even fully form sometimes.
Potentially, yeah.
Right.
And assess the true impact of their products or services based on how people feel about them.
That sounds like a fundamentally different way of operating. It sounds like it offers a serious competitive advantage.
It absolutely does. Think about it. Companies can respond to customer complaints almost immediately. They can see positive feedback and capitalize on it. Mm-hmm. They can make data-driven decisions that directly impact customer satisfaction and loyalty.
And there's proof this works.
Oh, yeah. Studies consistently show significant improvements in those areas. Satisfaction, loyalty for companies that really lean into advanced sentiment analysis. It's not just about knowing what people are saying, but how they feel when they say it. That's the key.
Okay, so we've established it's powerful, valuable, but you mentioned earlier it's more nuanced than just good or bad.
Mm-hmm.
How much deeper does it actually go? What are some of the different forms it takes?
Right, it's definitely not a simple binary. One really important type is aspect-based sentiment analysis.
Aspect-based.
Yeah, this breaks down the text to figure out the sentiment towards specific features or attributes. So going back to your octopus packaging example, aspect-based analysis could tell you, okay, people love the product design, but they really dislike the packaging. Or maybe they like the features, but hate the price.
That's incredibly useful. So you're not just guessing what part of the product or service is causing the friction.
Exactly. It pinpoints it. Then there's fine-grained sentiment analysis. This goes beyond just positive, negative, neutral. It gives you more nuanced categories like very positive, somewhat positive, neutral, somewhat negative, very negative. It adds those shades of gray or shades of emotion, I guess.
More detail.
More detail. And related to that is emotion detection. This tries to identify and categorize the specific underlying emotions being expressed, like happiness, frustration, anger, sadness.
So not just positive, negative, but what kind of positive or negative?
Precisely. And then diving even deeper, there's intent analysis. This tries to figure out the purpose behind the user's text.
What they're trying to do.
Yeah. Is this customer expressing an intent to buy something? Are they looking for customer support? Are they just asking a question? Understanding the intent adds another layer of context.
Incredible how deep it goes. It's like deciphering not just the feeling, but the motivation too. And these aren't just, you know, theoretical ideas, are they? Businesses are actually using this stuff in really innovative ways right now.
Oh, absolutely. It's happening everywhere.
Let's explore some of those. First up, you mentioned customer support. How is it revolutionizing that?
Well, this is one of the most direct impacts. AI tools can assess the emotion in customer feedback, like in a chat or an email, and then help train chatbots or even assist human agents to respond with more empathy.
So the chatbot doesn't sound so robotic.
Exactly. If a customer is clearly frustrated, the AI can flag that, and the chatbot or the agent guided by the AI can tailor the response. Offer specific solutions that address that frustration. It makes the interaction feel much more human, more effective. It can turn a potentially bad situation around.
That's huge. Okay, second application, something for the product developers and UX folks out there. You said it's a game changer for detecting liked or disliked features.
Absolutely. This is incredibly valuable. AI can sift through thousands of reviews or comments and pinpoint exactly which product features are getting praise and which are drawing criticism.
Like that slow loading time example.
Perfect example. Imagine a mobile app users love the interface, it looks great, but they constantly complain it's slow. AI flags loading time as a specific recurring negative point. That tells the development team exactly where to focus their efforts for the biggest impact. No more guesswork.
That's incredibly granular feedback delivered at scale. Amazing. Third, this one sounds almost like science fiction unveiling and predicting market trends, like an AI crystal ball.
It kind of is. AI goes beyond just direct customer feedback here. It uses advanced natural language processing, NLP algorithms. You might hear terms like RNNs, recurrent neural networks, or LSTMs, long short-term memory networks.
Okay, getting technical now.
Just briefly. Think of LSTMs especially as AI systems with a kind of memory. They can understand the context of words even if they appear far apart in a sentence, which is crucial for understanding complex human language.
Right, because context is everything.
Everything. So these algorithms analyze vast amounts of text from social media, news articles, forums, looking for emerging topics, shifts in public sentiment. It could be tracking mentions of your brand on X, you know, formerly Twitter.
To see how people feel about you?
Yeah, gauging public opinion in real time, or processing news articles to spot industry-specific trends, or even analyzing purchasing histories to anticipate market shifts for new products or pricing. It's about seeing the bigger picture, the patterns in the noise.
That's powerful foresight for any business strategy. Okay, fourth, what about just monitoring and understanding brand perception overall?
This is closely related. By constantly analyzing information from reviews, surveys, social media, AI helps companies get a really clear data-backed picture of how customers truly perceive them, their services, their products, their image.
Not just how they think they're perceived.
Exactly. It cuts through the internal assumptions. This allows businesses to refine their messaging, their communication strategies, and build a brand image that genuinely connects with their audience, making sure the external message actually matches the reality on the ground.
Makes sense. And finally, number five, This one surprised me a bit, using it internally for optimizing product and employee satisfaction surveys.
Yeah, it's not just for external customers. Think about analyzing open-ended responses in employee surveys. AI can quickly classify feedback as positive, neutral, or negative, and again, identify specific aspects being praised or criticized.
So finding out what employees really think about, say, work-life balance or management?
Precisely. It helps companies understand employee satisfaction much more deeply and pinpoint areas for workplace improvement. It makes companies more responsive not just to their market, but to their own internal culture and workforce, too.
These are some seriously innovative applications, and they're not just theoretical, right? You mentioned these are transforming businesses now. Can you give us some real-world examples to make it even more concrete?
Certainly. Let's take Bank of America. They have that virtual financial assistant, Erica.
Yes, Erica.
Launched back in 2018. Get this, it's handled over 1 billion client interactions.
1 billion? Wow.
Yeah. Assisted nearly 32 million clients with daily financial tasks. But the key thing is, Erica uses sentiment analysis on those interactions to proactively enhance services based on those data-driven insights. It's constantly learning, improving based on how users react.
It's not just answering questions, it's evolving based on the sentiment it detects. That's a huge feedback loop.
Exactly. Then there's Ford. They use AI-driven sentiment analysis to study customer feedback on vehicle performance in real time.
How does that work? Reading forms and stuff?
Pretty much. Imagine thousands of drivers mentioning, say, clunky gear shifts or a weird engine noise, not just in formal surveys, but casually online, in forums, on social media.
Stuff that might get missed otherwise.
Right. AI pinpoints these subtle, recurring themes. This allows Ford to potentially push out software updates or even make design changes to vehicles before these become widespread major complaints. It massively enhances the driving experience and, ideally, boosts loyalty.
So it shifts the whole thing from being reactive, fixing problems after they happen, to being proactive, fixing them before they blow up.
That's the goal. And one more, T-Mobile. They use natural language understanding, NLU models. That's a step beyond just NLP, really focusing on understanding the meaning and intent.
Like reading between the lines.
Kind of, yeah. Understanding context. They use these models to extract meaning from hundreds of thousands of daily customer requests, chats, calls, etc. They use this to forecast information needs, assist their customer service agents better, and they've seen significant reductions in customer complaints as a result.
So it helps the agents be more effective.
More effective, more prepared. These aren't just minor tweaks. These are core business improvements, all driven by this deep understanding of customer sentiment and intent.
These examples really drive home the power and versatility here. But okay, let's peek behind the curtain. How does this digital magic actually work? Let's dive into the algorithms. What are the main techniques under the hood?
Okay, so at a fundamental level, you can think of two main approaches. First, there are rule-based approaches.
Rule-based?
Yeah. These use predefined linguistic rules and patterns. Think dictionaries of positive and negative words, rules about negation, not good, maybe intensifiers, very good. They're useful for simpler tasks, almost like a detailed flowchart for language sentiment.
Okay, like coding the grammar of emotion.
Sort of, yeah. But the second approach, which is far more common and powerful today, involves machine learning-based methods, including deep learning.
Ah, the AI learning part.
Exactly. These are more advanced. They use massive data sets, huge amounts of text, already labeled as positive, negative, or neutral, to train models. These models then learn to automatically identify sentiment patterns themselves. They can handle much more complex language, nuances, slang, and adapt to different domains and languages much better. They learn from examples rather than being explicitly programmed for every single rule.
So less like a flowchart, more like learning by reading millions of examples. There was a recent study, I think, using 100,000 customer feedback entries comparing different algorithms. What did that show about these sort of traditional machine learning models?
Right. That study was interesting. For those traditional machine learning models, they generally found, yes, faster processing times and better scalability, meaning they handle larger data sets more easily. But the trade-off was often lower overall accuracy compared to the newer deep learning methods.
Okay, so faster, but maybe less precise.
Generally speaking, yes. For instance, support vector machines, or SVMs, they achieved about 85.2% accuracy in that study. SVMs are pretty robust, good with complex data, had moderate scalability, and took about 25 minutes to process that 100K data set.
Okay.
And then there's naive Bayes. It's simpler, often very efficient. It scored lower on accuracy, around 78.9%, but it was super fast, just 10 minutes processing time, and highly scalable.
So speed demon, but less accurate.
Pretty much. And lastly, they looked at decision trees. These are quite intuitive, easy to understand how they reach a decision. They got 82.5% accuracy, moderate processing time, 15 minutes, but they had lower scalability. They can sometimes suffer from overfitting.
Overfitting, meaning they learn the training data too well.
Exactly. They become too tailored to the specific examples they were trained on and don't generalize as well to new unseen data.
Okay, so that's the traditional ML side.
Right.
How did the more advanced deep learning models perform in that same comparison?
Well, this is where things got really interesting. The deep learning models showed significantly higher accuracy and recall, meaning they were better at finding all the relevant sentiments. But as expected, they came with a cost.
More computing power needed?
Yeah, significantly more processing time and higher computational demands. Convolutional neural networks, CNNs, delivered really high accuracy, 90.1%. They're effective at automatically picking out important features related to sentiment in text. They also showed high scalability, but took 45 minutes to process the data.
Almost double the SVM time, but better accuracy.
Right. But the real star of that study was long short-term memory networks, LSTMs.
You mentioned those earlier with the memory.
Exactly. They achieved the highest overall performance and impressive 92.3% accuracy. This is largely because they're designed to handle sequential data, like text, and can understand long-term dependencies, how words far apart influence each other's meaning.
So they get context better over longer sentences.
Precisely. But that power comes at a price. They had the longest processing time by far, 60 minutes, and only moderate scalability compared to some others.
So there's that clear trade-off again. Higher accuracy and better understanding of nuance with deep learning, but you pay for it in time and computing resources.
It's a constant balancing act.
Beyond that specific study, I saw another piece of research, this one on 175,000 Amazon baby product reviews. That sounds very specific. It seemed to offer more practical tips on choosing models. What did that tell us?
Yeah, that was interesting because it focused on comparing common approaches like logistic regression, k-nearest neighbor, KNN, and SVM, but specifically looked at how they performed with two different feature extraction techniques.
Feature extraction, how the words are turned into numbers for the AI.
Basically, yes. They compared count vectorizer, which just counts word frequency, and TF-IDF, which stands for term frequency inverse document frequency.
TF-IDF, sounds fancy.
It's a bit smarter than just counting. It gives more weight to words that are important to a specific document compared to how often they appear across all documents. So rare but relevant words get boosted.
Okay, makes sense. So what did they find?
They generally found that the TF-IDF approach gave better results for SVM and KNN compared to the simple count vectorizer. And for that specific data set, those baby product reviews, the support vector machine, SVM algorithm, using TF-IDF, came out as the best fit based on their analysis.
So SVM won that round with the smarter word representation.
For that data set, yes. Interestingly, they also noted that KNN sometimes did better than logistic regression when they used the entire data set. It just highlights that the best model can really depend on the specific data and how you prepare it.
So the big takeaway on choosing an algorithm isn't really about finding the single best one, is it?
Not at all. It truly comes down to balancing that performance accuracy, nuance against efficiency, speed, scalability, cost. The ideal choice depends entirely on the specific job you need the sentiment analysis to do. How precise does it need to be? How much data is there? What computer resources do you have?
It's not a one-size-fits-all solution. You have to pick the right tool for the specific task.
Precisely. And this leads us perfectly from the technical details into something, well, fundamentally human. Because AI systems, at the end of the day, are created by humans. They carry our values, our assumptions, our biases.
Intentionally or not.
Right. Which makes ethical considerations absolutely crucial. We need to be incredibly intentional and careful about how we deploy these powerful tools.
That's a really important point. Uh-huh. Let's dive into those ethics. There seem to be about five major concerns that keep coming up. The big five, if you will. Mm-hmm. First on the list, privacy and data use. This feels like ground zero when analyzing personal communication.
It absolutely is. Huge concerns arise when you're collecting personal data, like social media posts or private messages, often without the user fully realizing it, or without really strong security measures in place to protect that data.
So what's the solution? Just don't collect it.
Well, the experts really push for, first, obtaining clear user consent, not buried in pages of legal text. Second, implementing strict data protection measures, encryption, access controls, and of course, adhering to privacy laws like GDPR in Europe or similar regulations elsewhere.
What about making the data less personal?
Exactly. Anonymization techniques are key. Things like removing names or other direct identifiers, aggregating data so it's about groups rather than individuals, and using techniques like differential privacy, which adds statistical noise to data to protect individuals, something Apple uses quite a bit.
Okay, so privacy is number one. Moving on, a huge thorny issue, bias and fairness. How do we stop AI from just reflecting or even amplifying the biases already out there in society?
That's maybe one of the toughest challenges. AI models learn from the data they're trained on. If that data contains biases about gender, race, demographics, the AI will likely learn and perpetuate those biases.
Or the developers themselves might introduce bias.
That too, yeah. Unintentionally, usually, but it happens. We've seen examples where systems score, say, one gender higher for emotion intensity, or assign more negative sentiment scores to names associated with certain demographic groups. It's deeply problematic.
So how do you fight that?
It requires a multi-pronged approach. Using diverse, truly representative training data is step one. Conducting regular fairness audits, actively testing the models for bias outcomes. Ensuring diversity within the AI development teams themselves brings different perspectives. And using technical debiasing methods, like trying to identify and neutralize biased words or associations within the data sets, it's an ongoing battle.
Okay, bias is number two. Third, you mentioned the black box problem, our transparency. If we can't see how the AI makes its decisions, how can we trust it? Especially with something as subjective as emotion.
Exactly. Many advanced AI models, particularly deep learning ones, can operate like black boxes. The inputs go in, the sentiment classification comes out, but the reasoning process in the middle is opaque. This really erodes trust and makes it hard to spot or correct errors.
So what's the push towards?
Explainable AI, or XAI. The goal is to develop models that can provide clear explanations for their decisions. This might mean showing which words or phrases most influence the sentiment score, providing documentation on how the model works, or offering ways for users to query the results. Why was this classified as negative? It's about making the AI accountable.
Opening up the box. Okay, fourth big concern, consent and user knowledge. You touched on this with privacy, but are people generally aware their words might be analyzed like this?
Often no, not explicitly. Think about posting a product review or tweeting something. Do you consciously think an AI might analyze the emotion in this? Probably not.
Not usually, no.
So the ethical approach requires clear, simple, jargon-free explanations to users about how their data might be analyzed. Providing opt-in systems where users actively agree rather than opt-out systems is much better. And making it easy for users to see and change their permissions. It's all about ensuring informed consent.
That's right, making it an active choice. And the fifth, and perhaps most chilling concern, the risks of emotional influence and manipulation.
This is where it gets really sensitive, potentially dystopian if we're not careful. Mm-hmm. If you can accurately analyze sentiment on a massive scale, could those tools be misused?
How so?
To manipulate emotions, perhaps. To sway public opinion in political campaigns by tailoring messages based on detected sentiment. Or by companies trying to subtly influence customer feelings to drive purchases. The potential for misuse is significant.
That's worrying. What are the safeguards there?
It's complex. Solutions involve establishing clear ethical guidelines and potentially regulations, especially for political and marketing uses. Educating the public about how sentiment analysis works and its potential impacts is crucial, and implementing strong oversight to prevent misuse. It's about protecting individual autonomy and preventing emotional exploitation.
These five areas, privacy, bias, transparency, consent, manipulation, are huge ethical minefields. But beyond those principles, are there technical hurdles that just make doing ethical AI hard?
Definitely. One of the biggest is AI's ongoing struggle with truly understanding context and nuance in human language.
We talked about that a bit with the algorithms.
Right. Things like sarcasm. Oh, that's just great. When you mean the opposite. Irony. Negations, like your not unpleasant example. Words with multiple meanings, polysemy. Or statements with mixed feelings, multipolarity. AI still trips up on these constantly.
And that can lead to ethical problems if the AI misinterprets someone's feeling.
Absolutely. Imagine wrongly classifying a sarcastic complaint as positive feedback. Hybrid approaches, where human analysts review or handle the tricky cases flagged by AI, can help. But it shows the limits of pure automation.
So human oversight is still key for the really tricky stuff. What else makes it hard?
Well, bluntly, cost implications. Doing ethical AI properly isn't cheap. Gathering diverse, high-quality, unbiased data sets takes effort and resources. Developing fair and transparent algorithms requires specialized expertise and more development time. Implementing human oversight adds labor costs. Ensuring regulatory compliance takes legal and administrative effort. It can be expensive to do it right.
So there might be a temptation to cut corners.
Potentially, yes. And then there's that inherent tension we discussed, the accuracy versus privacy dilemma. Generally, AI models get more accurate with more data. But collecting and using more data increases the privacy risks. Finding that balance is tough. People are exploring privacy-enhancing technologies, PETs, to try and get the best of both worlds, but it's an active area of research.
It sounds like a rapidly evolving field, not just technically, but legally and ethically, too. What's the regulatory landscape looking like? Are governments stepping in?
They certainly are trying to. The EU's AI Act is probably the most comprehensive effort so far. It's pioneering because it categorizes AI applications by risk level.
How does that work?
Some applications might be deemed unacceptable risk and banned outright. Others are high risk, like AI in critical infrastructure or law enforcement, and they face strict legal standards for safety, transparency, and oversight. Then there are lower risk categories with fewer obligations. It's a tiered approach.
And in the U.S.?
In the U.S., President Biden's 2023 executive order put a strong focus on AI safety and security, particularly around transparency and developing standards. It's perhaps less prescriptive than the EU Act, but signals clear intent.
So the direction globally is towards more oversight.
Definitely. We're seeing emerging approaches focusing on stricter penalties for misuse, efforts towards global standards so companies don't face wildly different rules everywhere, and the development of more comprehensive ethical frameworks. The overall trend signals a future where companies will need to be much more cognizant of the risks and underlying nature of AI, as one analysis put it, right from the beginning. Regulation is catching up.
Wow. What an incredible journey we've taken today. We've really covered a lot of ground.
We certainly have.
We journeyed through this whole world of AI sentiment analysis, from, you know, the basic definition, understanding human emotion in text, and why it's become so incredibly valuable for businesses.
Giving them that real-time pulse on customer feeling.
Right. To all those creative applications, making customer support more empathetic, refining products based on pinpoint feedback, even spotting market trends before they fully emerge.
And we looked under the hood at the algorithms, the SVMs, the LSTMs.
The tech driving it all. And maybe most importantly, we dug into those profound ethical considerations. The privacy risks, the bias, the need for transparency, and the potential for manipulation. Things we absolutely have to keep front of mind.
Absolutely critical conversations to be having.
So for you listening, you should now have a much deeper understanding of how this often invisible hand of AI is shaping your interactions every day and informing decisions across countless industries.
It really is about more than just what's being said. It's about how it's being felt.
And that leads to a final thought, something to maybe mull over. As AI keeps advancing, we're seeing moves towards multimodal sentiment analysis.
Analyzing not just text, but voice tone, facial expressions too.
Yeah. And towards predictive reputation management. AI trying to anticipate issues before they even arise makes you wonder, doesn't it? What new ethical responsibilities pop up when AI doesn't just understand human emotion, but starts to increasingly anticipate it? maybe even influence it.
Well, that's the big question, isn't it?
How do we make absolutely sure these incredibly powerful capabilities are always used in ways that respect human rights, foster genuine transparency, and empower individuals, especially in a world where AI is becoming ever more deeply intertwined with our emotions and our choices?
A crucial question for all of us as this technology continues its rapid evolution.